We desire prayers. The Lord will bless His word. I was impressed with one of the songs we sang here tonight. Number 2, Big Tree is budding. The evening is shining. We welcome the wonderful light. We look for the Savior, where time is declining, eternity looming in sight. I believe that tonight. I believe the Lord is coming. There in Oklahoma City, in about 3 different places around the city, are very large billboards, and it says, "The end is near." I haven't seen them, but somebody saw them and told me about them and really impressed me. I'm glad that somebody is putting up a little warning sign like that, trying to awaken people to the end. I've looked for the end all my life. My mother said that even when I was a little girl, I was looking for the Lord to come. The Lord may come in my lifetime, or He may not. I did not believe I would get to be this old, but I'm still here, and He may come in my time, and I'm still looking for Him. I'm glad that He promised He would come back. We'd like to express our gratitude to all who came and helped support the meeting there in the city. It's like Lauren said this morning, each one that came just added something to the meeting, and we really appreciate the support. We have a little thought to share with you tonight, and we want to say also that we don't get to come very often, and we count it a great privilege that we're able to come tonight. We walked in and everyone looked and we said, "We didn't get enough of church." You know, we're still hungry for the truth. We love the truth. We love the church of God and we love the people of God. We thank the Lord for every child of God. So we have a little thought on our heart. We desire your prayers. If you'll turn with us to Revelations, the 3rd chapter, we're going to look at one verse, verse 20. And it says here, very familiar scripture, it says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." That's a beautiful scripture. Oftentimes I have read that and I felt like that was talking about the lost. But I believe it's talking to us as saints. I believe the Lord has a great desire to come in to our lives and sup with us. He wants a fellowship with us. He wants to be able to commune with you and me. Of course, it caused my mind to go to the song of what a friend we have in Jesus. And I don't know, I don't have it right here. It seems like to me there should be an exclamation point after that statement. Maybe there is, but it's quite a statement. What a friend we have in Jesus. And when you look through those verses, what is it always saying for you and me to do? Take everything to God in prayer. Now, to have a fellowship or communion or a friendship, there has to be a giving and a taking. I looked this word up, friend. And there was one definition that said, one with whom one is on speaking terms. I liked that. You know, the Lord wants to speak to us. And that's what He said in this particular verse. He said, "I'm standing here and I'm knocking. And if you hear my voice," He says, "and if you will open the door, and I'm going to come in." I would like to speak to you a little bit about the voice of the Lord. I've been meditating upon this thought for some time. I was in prayer one day and seeking the Lord and crying out to the Lord. And I said this portion of a song, "I know the sweet sound of thy voice." For you and me to be on speaking terms with the Lord, we have to get acquainted with His voice. We have to understand His voice. We have to know who's talking. I'm thinking about when we sometimes get a telephone call. Some of you that will call me, you don't have to say who you are, even if I don't look at my caller ID. Caller ID sort of gives it away. But you know, I can pick up the phone and I know your voice right away. I know who you are. But then there are other times, maybe I haven't spoken to somebody in a while. Maybe they've moved away. Maybe, I'm not real familiar with their voice. And they call and I guess who this is. And I'll have to say, well, keep on talking. I might identify. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to readily identify His voice. And He wants us to know how to prove His voice. And that's some of the things we want to bring to you tonight. We want to look over in the Old Testament, for you know there all through the Old Testament, many places it will say, and the voice of the Lord came unto saying, and He said, and there it is all through the Old Testament that the voice of the Lord was heard by the prophets. Now it's true that it was mainly through the prophets that He spoke, and that they in turn took the message to the people. People were very afraid of the sound of the voice of the Lord. Sometimes when they heard that noise, you might say, and I'll call it a noise because it didn't always come across to the people like it was a voice. Sometimes it said it sounded like many waters. Sometimes it said it sounded like thunder. But when the people heard it, they knew it was a divine communication. And many times they were fearful and didn't want the Lord to speak to them. But I want us to look in a scripture concerning Moses. You'll turn with me to Numbers, the 12th chapter. I desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to be able to communicate the thoughts that we've had on the voice of the Lord. We're going to read verses, or look at verses 6 through 8. Verse 6 says, "If there be a prophet among you, if the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." So you see, sometimes the Lord did not verbally speak to the prophets, but He used visions and dreams for some of His prophets. But it says, with Moses, that's not going to be so. He said, with him, verse 8, "With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches." His relationship with Moses was one that when he spoke, Moses knew what he was saying. They were able to communicate with one another mouth to mouth. I like that. You know, I believe the Lord in this day and time would like to communicate with you and me mouth to mouth. I believe we are in the gospel day, and we are in a day that the people of the Old Testament did not have the privilege of the Holy Spirit. But you and I have a great privilege of having the function, the operation of the Holy Spirit that can speak mouth to mouth to you and me. And I believe He wants to do it more, but we have to know what voice it is. Let's go to Judges, the 6th chapter. I want to give you a few places in the Old Testament about the voice of the Lord. In the 6th chapter, this is concerning between verses 11 and 17. We're not going to read all of those. We're familiar with this. But this is Gideon. And it said that an angel of the Lord came and spoke to Gideon. And he said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why?" And then he began to inquire himself. He talked back to him. Have you ever had the Lord talk to you and you communicate back with Him? Have you ever said, "Well, Lord, why?" I remember having an experience like that. It was very real. It's the only time I have had an experience just like this. But I was in a special place that I needed to understand why the Lord did not do a certain thing, because I thought that I had faith that it would be done. And I was so concerned about it that I had made up my mind I was going to fast for 3 weeks. Now, I know the Lord knew I couldn't fast for 3 weeks, but that's how serious I was about this. And I even said to the Lord, "Lord, I cannot take another step for you until you show me why you didn't do thus and thus." So I was to start my fast the next morning, and I got Lauren Vance off to work, went in and got down beside my bed, and I said those same words to the Lord, "Lord, I can't take another step for you until you show me why this and this." I want to tell you, the Lord spoke to me almost in an audible voice, so much so I turned around and sat down on the floor. And it was as though He was right there, and He was speaking to me in terms that I understood, and they were a witness that what He was saying was the truth. I could not do that for you because, and He spoke it to me, and I knew it was right. And He just explained it completely. That was an experience that I have never forgotten. But He allowed me to say, "Why, Lord?" I believe the Lord gives you and me the privilege to ask of Him, when He could open it up to us and say why He has done or not done whatever. Now I want to say what He said at the end of it. At the end of this conversation, He said, "I'm going to give you something to trust me for." And I was very thrilled that I was going to get a second chance. And that was in August when that happened. And the next May, the Lord did just that. You see, when it's the voice of the Lord, it's real. It's true. It will come to pass. He doesn't just utter words for the sake of making words or the sound. What He says He's going to do, He will do it. And if you will have faith and believe in that, it'll come to pass. And the Lord did that. He brought about a situation in my physical body that I almost died. But you know, as soon as I started getting sick, I knew the Lord was giving me that opportunity. I remembered His words in August. I had my husband go and get a piece of paper, and I wrote down, I want to trust the Lord through this sickness. And the Lord brought me through it. It was a very critical thing, but the Lord gave that to me. And He told me He was going to do it. Well, Gideon here had that privilege of asking why. And it says, "Now the Lord hath forsaken us." Verse 14, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel." See, the word of the Lord has come to one that is just threshing wheat. He's not been a warrior. He's never gone out and fought, according to what this is saying. Yet he was called a mighty man of valor, but he didn't quite believe it, did he? He needed some confirmation of what was being said to him by the angel of the Lord. Do you think the Lord doesn't like for us to seek for His confirmation? I believe the Lord wants to prove Himself to us in anything that He speaks to us, anything that He shows us, anything that He reveals, anything that He brings into your life that He wants it to be a conviction in your life. I believe He wants to confirm it. Well, the Lord confirmed it and allowed him to have a fleece. We'll skip on down to 36. And it says, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said," he spoke it, "behold, I will put a fleece." We know the rest of it. After he had proved it one time, he said, "Now, Lord, please don't be too hot with your anger against me." You'll find that written right here. He said, "I'm going to ask you to do it in one other way. I'm going to ask for an opposite of this fleece." And it was proven. Thank the Lord. Gideon went forth and followed what the Lord said after that. I believe that the Lord desires for you and me to operate in faith. But I believe also there may be situations in our life that we have the privilege to say, "Lord, allow me to have a fleece." That's where that term comes from. Just please prove it to me that this is you speaking to me and this is you telling me to do whatever you're calling me to do. I don't believe the Lord cuts us off if our faith sometimes wavers just a little bit, when we need to know exactly it's the voice of the Lord. Let's go to 1 Kings. This is familiar also, the 19th chapter. We're not going to read all of that either. We know that this is the account of Elijah. Elijah has just come through a great victory where all of the prophets of Baal have been slain, where the great victory of the fire of the Lord has come down and consumed a sacrifice. And it was done by a very, very simple prayer. And the instructions that was given to him was through the voice of the Lord. And he followed it. Elijah followed that. And then here Jezebel desires very much to take his life. And he's running for his life. And we find that as he went, he talked to the Lord, and the Lord talked to him. And the Lord said to him, "Well, what are you doing here? What doest thou, Elijah?" And he said, listen how he answered. He said in verse 10, "I have been very jealous for the Lord." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever talked back to the Lord when he says, "What are you doing? Why are you acting this way?" "Well, Lord, I've been very jealous for your cause." Is that a reason for the running? I don't believe it was. The Lord wanted to prove something to him. He brought him to this cave, and he was standing in this place, and it said, "And the Lord passed by." The Lord, when he passed by, there was a great strong wind. It rent the mountains. It broke the pieces of the rock. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. All of those things seem like to me that we would say, the Lord was surely in that. When you and I heard on the news about the terrible earthquake down in Haiti, didn't some of us say, I believe the Lord was in that? And the Lord is in some of those things, but he wanted Elijah to recognize, sometimes I don't talk through all of these things. And I believe that the Lord uses the disasters of the world to speak to people. Maybe they don't realize it, but sometimes that is the voice of the Lord. But it goes on and it says, after all of these things, the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, what happened? Just a very still, small voice spoke to him. And it was so when Elijah heard it. And what was his reaction? He wrapped himself in his mantle, and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, and I can just imagine how it was, and I wish I could imitate how I think it was. What are you doing here? It wasn't anything. It was just a voice that drew him. Have you ever had the voice of the Lord speak to you when he's trying to work with you and trying to get you to maybe give up something? And what kind of voice was it? I want you to look back over your experiences, and I want you to remember and recall, how was the voice of the Lord when he deals with us? Or when he reproves us or corrects us? I have found the voice of the Lord to be a very sweet and loving voice, a voice that I cannot resist. Whatever he's calling for, and I've had the Lord do this a number of times, and that's one of the ways I have identified the voice of the Lord, is because it was a voice that just drew me. And it caused me to, I could testify to a number of places in my life where that voice spoke to me and called for something in my life. Won't you give it? This is how he said it. Won't you give it up for me? Or won't you give it up for the sake of the gospel? And every time I said, yes, Lord, and just gave it to the Lord. And I mean, it would not even be a temptation. Never has been a temptation to this day, because the voice of the Lord was so sweet, and it drew me, and it caused me to want to do what he was calling for. Get acquainted with the voice of the Lord. It's not going to be in the earthquake or the fire or the thunder or the lightnings. He does speak those ways, but when he's working with you and me, he does it in a very loving and gentle voice. Thank the Lord. So I just sort of imagined that that was the kind of voice that was here with Elijah. 1 John 4th chapter, verse 1, says this. It says, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God." I believe that we can change that scripture and not do damage to it. I believe we could put a voice in the place of spirit there. So if you will, I'd like to read it with that word. "Believe not every voice, but try the voices, whether they be of God." Now, John also told us that there were many false prophets or false spirits, not prophets, false spirits that are gone out into the world. You and I are dealing with false voices in our world. There are many voices. We need to be very cautious about voices, because every voice that you hear is not necessarily a right voice or a true voice or the voice of the Lord. I want to talk to us a little bit about the different voices, but I must address the voice of the Lord first. You know, I don't want to start out telling you the false ones and then end up. I want you to understand the true voice. The true voice always speaks the truth. The true voice is never contrary to the Word or the Spirit, never contradicts the Word. It will always lead in paths of righteousness. And also, as I have already described, it is a sweet voice. Even in correction, his voice is sweet. I'd like to, before we go on to some other verses, I want to look at Luke, the 24th chapter, and verse 32. And this, too, is a familiar passage. Jesus has already been crucified and has been buried, and it's the third day. And here's a couple of his disciples, and they're walking along the road to Emmaus, and they're discussing the events of the last few days. And up comes a stranger. At least they didn't know him right then. And he inquires of their conversation, and they go into a discourse of saying what had happened in the last few days. They came to a place and wanted him to stay with them, and he did. And as he broke the bread, their eyes were opened, but soon he vanished. And in verse 32, I want to read this. "And there were also two other," verse 32, I was one page wrong. "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way, while he opened up the scriptures?" I want you and me to recognize there is a witness to the voice of the Lord. And if we have a right spirit in us, it will burn in our very breast, in our heart. It will be a witness that this is true. And that's what they're saying here. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he was talking to us? We knew something was there. We just didn't know who it was. Let me tell you, if you will keep a right spirit in your heart and life, and you will follow a right spirit, every time that the voice of the Lord will come, there will be that burning. You'll experience, maybe you're young right now and you'll say, "Well, I never have had that." The scripture says, if ye follow on to know, you and I will need to continue following on, growing in the things of God. God wants to reveal himself to you and me, no matter our age, but we have to follow on to know. We have to keep on following and seeking. He said, "You'll find me if you seek me with your whole heart." He said these things because he wanted us to seek after him. Before I go on to another voice, I want to say to all of us, and especially the young people, that the word of the Lord is the voice of the Lord. It speaks to us. The Bible is one way that he speaks to us. Now, let me say it this way. Maybe you are seeking the Lord for an answer, or a direction, or help, or grace. Whatever you're seeking the Lord for, he will provide a lot of the answer right here. It's not always going to be this voice coming in your ear. That's why you and I need to study the Word of God. Study to show ourselves approved unto God. You and I need to have it hid in our hearts, because it will be there to be a witness. But the Word of the Lord, the Bible, is a way that He speaks to you and me. Now, we started out talking about what a friend we have in Jesus. And we mentioned that in that song, there are a number of phrases that says, take everything to the Lord in prayer. Do you want to hear from the Lord? You're going to have to do some seeking too. You're going to have to do some praying. Learning how to pray. That is one of the ways you're going to learn the voice of the Lord. Now, some people, and I have been there too, you begin to learn how to pray. And you pray for a few minutes, and you think, well, I'm just going to be repeating the same thing over and over. So how do I learn how to pray? The Lord will teach you how to pray. If you will pray in a way that you know how to pray and continue on, and as you feel a call to prayer, have you ever felt a call to prayer? You know, we're living in a time when there is a lot of things to pray about, even the young people. I would like to say that I really appreciated the young people that were taking an interest in the fastings and prayer for Brother Michael. When we had the prayer chain going, I remember one that was on the end of the Oklahoma City group that they were to call Philip and Rosie, and they couldn't get them. So they called me, and they said, what do we do? And I said, well, try calling this other number. And they got a hold of Robert, and they called me back, and they said, well, Robert said that they're out of reach right now. And so I called Robert, and I said, Robert, you take your parents' time. You know he did? And he tried to call the next one on the list, and he calls me back, and he says, I can't get the next one on the list. But you know, that touched me. Young people, you can learn to enter into the burden of prayer. God hears your prayers if you're saved. And God wants to teach you how to pray. And as time goes on, as you grow in the things of God, you'll be expanding those prayer times to a greater length of time. I could testify to some of that, but that would take too long. But the Lord has taught me down through my life, and I know that He can teach you as well. Just continue on and keep trying and learning the voice of the Lord, learning the voice in the Word of God, and in time, you're going to begin to hear the voice of the Lord, but it will go right along with the Scripture. I'd like to address just a little bit about the voice of Satan. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time there. Just enough time that you're going to be able to identify the voice of Satan. Scripture tells us some things about Satan, but the main one that I get a hold of is that he appears as an angel of light. Satan is an imitator, and he is a deceiver. He is one that likes to sound like the voice of the Lord. He also deals in half-truths. Didn't he do that when he was tempting Jesus? Didn't he use the Scripture? Don't ever doubt that Satan doesn't know the Word of the Lord. Just because a Scripture is given to you doesn't necessarily mean that is the Word of the Lord. Satan is able to quote the Scriptures to you in a voice that sounds like the voice of God. Remember that. Remember that God wants us to prove whose voice is really speaking. He is also an accuser of the brethren. If you put him to the test, if you wait long enough, you'll begin to understand that this voice has some accusations in it. Well, you might say, well, what about the Lord? Doesn't he cause us to feel condemnation with our sins? He will bring you to a place of conviction. But he is not an accuser of the brethren. Remember that. That is one way you can identify the voice of Satan. God has never accused me. Has he ever accused you? Do you know what it means to be accused? just trying to put you down and make you feel guilty and make you feel hopeless? Have you ever felt hopeless when God has dealt with your heart? Never. When the Lord deals with our heart, He does it with hope. You always have hope when the Lord comes and speaks to you about anything in your life. Do you see the difference there that you can use to identify the voice of Satan? Now, this is one that is going to be a little hard, but you're going to have to hold real steady when you hear this one. Satan will sometimes use your voice, but it will be his voice. Now, here you are, you're having these thoughts come to your mind, and it sounds just like my own voice. You've got to stop and say, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't feel that way. I don't want to feel that way. In a way, you almost have to argue yourself out of that one. You have to contradict that voice if in your heart you have no desire to be that way. So be aware when the enemy comes against you using your voice. Be aware. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about your voice and my voice. We do have a voice, and we do have a mind, and we have thoughts, and we have impressions. Do you have impressions? Do you have inspirations? You and I have to deal with impressions and inspirations. And the Lord operates with both of those. But we have to put it to the test. Is this impression or this inspiration, is it from the Lord? Many people mistaken their impressions and their inspirations as being from the Lord when many times it isn't. Let me give you this example. I believe it was Brother Marty. Brother Marty said that the Lord gave him a vision or a dream, I'm not sure which, and I have held on to this. Because you see, what he saw was a congregation, like at a camp meeting, and a number of ministers. Now, when you go to camp meeting, I want you to think about this. And I want you to pray in this way for the ministers. Because what Brother Marty saw was standing, an angel was standing in front of every minister, holding them back. Except one. God, in His way of speaking to the group, He said it's through the foolishness of preaching that He chose to save those that will believe. It is through this method that many times He conveys a message. We've already said that the Word of the Lord is a way that He speaks to us, but He chooses this method also. And it's very important that we know the right time, the right place, we be in the order of the Lord. And what Brother Marty said he saw was an angel standing in front of each one, holding them back, except one who was, the angel was standing behind him. That is so important. The Lord wants us to know our time, but we're human. We can make a mistake. That's not a sin. Remember, that's not a sin because we are human. We can feel maybe the burning of a message, and maybe we get overzealous and we act and we haven't heeded the angel of the Lord standing in front of us. I'm going to tell you that tonight, as we were down praying, I was saying, Lord, let there be an angel in front of me if this is not your time or your will. So when we feel the impression or inspiration, again, we need to have a proof of it and put it to the test. And waiting on the Lord. Let me insert this thought here. Sometimes we might think, oh, the ministers are just waiting too long to get into the pulpit. Don't think that. You know, time is not of essence to God, but order is. He desires that His people operate in the order of the Lord. He desires that we tarry and wait and really know the mind of the Lord. And when we're in a large setting, it would pay for all of us to be in the spirit of prayer. Praying for the one that has the message to be able to know it, understand it, and act on it. So when you're in a setting like that, let me also say this. Sometimes we get down to pray and maybe there's a long wait. And I have heard criticism of that. May I say another side of the coin or a different view of that? I want to tell you that I think that's also a time that you and I can quiet our spirits before the Lord. Instead of getting distressed and ruffled, oh, why doesn't somebody pray? And then somebody leads out in prayer that maybe is just simply acting on a frustration because nobody has led out in prayer. We do have some individuals who are a little bit intimidated, but I believe that they can overcome the intimidation if those of us will be patient. And if we will begin to pray, Lord, who would you like to have pray in this setting? Who could pray in the Spirit in this setting? Who has the prayer of faith for this setting? Let's not be too worried about the lingering of a... Did you know most of the time it's not even 2 minutes? But it feels like 5 or 6. But you and I could turn the and make it a more effective prayer time if we ourselves would begin to rebuke the devil and seek for the Spirit of the Lord to really order that whoever is to pray. So let's not be criticizing of how long it takes. Let's get into the spirit of prayer and ask for the Spirit of the Lord to set it in order. Now back to my voice. I'm going to give you 4 different thoughts that came to me, and I feel like that the Lord gave it to me. Number 1, I am influenced by my personal desires and my experiences. I can hear, now I'm going to say this, Brother Larry, in his messages, and it should be this way, as the minister is delivering the message, maybe he is saying a scripture, maybe he is speaking of an experience, and it relates to something that you have in your life. And you know what our impressions are right then? Oh, I need to get up and exhort on that. A number of times that happened during our revival. But the Spirit of the Lord said no. You see, you and I are still in our humanity. I'm telling you, it will pay all of us to get better acquainted with the voice of the Lord. To know when the Spirit is saying move, or when it's saying, be quiet. Because our services will be greater blessed. If everyone is following the Spirit of the Lord, and the right one is doing it at the right time, it will be greater blessed. So when I realize that I have some desires, and they're in my flesh, and I've had some experiences, it doesn't necessarily mean this is time for me to get up and say something. Wait on the Lord, and He will reveal. Number 2, all around me and you are human reasonings. Human reasonings are not the voice of the Lord. But we can get reasonings going on in our mind to the point that we think this is an impression, this is an inspiration. We need to really be acquainted with the voice of the Lord. Number 3, everything we hear and read is not from the voice of the Lord. Now, let me explain what I'm saying about that. I've already verified that the Word of God is the voice of the Lord. Just because something sounds real good doesn't mean it came from the Lord. The Lord has taught this to me, and I had to learn it in a hard way. Everything that is identified as Christian material is not necessarily approved of God. There may be some real good things mixed among it. I've read some of those things. I got a hold of a writer one time that I became enthralled with that writer. And I bought a number of his books. And I really fed on them. But as I continued to read, I began to find places he did not have all of the light. Now I'm not saying he wasn't saved. I'm saying that he didn't have all of the light that you and I should be operating in today. And I had to cut that thing off. So just because I picked up a book and it has good things in it, don't recommend it to somebody else. Now I'm going to tell you why. Somebody else may not be able to have the same discernment that you had. Somebody else might swallow a false doctrine or a false teaching. You and I are our brother's keepers, and we are responsible for each other. If I influence you to take a wrong way, your blood could be on my hands. So I had to give those things up. I find that we have plenty of material to read that we know is true and supported by the Word of God. And we And we do not have to be afraid. But if you are reaching out, don't say that's the voice of the Lord. The number four is this. It is absolutely imperative and needful that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. If ever there was a time that every saved human being of the earth needs to be seeking for the Holy Ghost, it is now. And I want to urge you that if you do not feel or believe or you cannot testify that you are filled with His Holy Spirit, I urge you to begin to seek for it until the Lord rains righteousness on you and fills you with His Spirit. The reason for that is, without His Holy Spirit, you and I will be easily deceived. There is a spirit of discernment, and the Spirit of the Lord wants you and me to not be deceived by anything other than, not deceived by anything, that we must understand the voice of the true God, the true voice. I'd like for you to turn with me to Isaiah 30. I'm almost finished. Thank you for your patience tonight. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. If someone gets there, they can start reading for me. And thine ear, just a minute, I want to emphasize some of this. Thine ear shall hear a word. We could say, hear a voice. Go ahead now. Behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. What voice would be telling you to do that? None other but the voice of the Lord. It goes on and it says, if you turn to the left or right, doesn't it? Go ahead then. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left hand. Listen, I want to tell you something, and I think you already know it from your own experiences. There's probably been times that you have got off track a little bit. Maybe you were influenced. Maybe you did turn to the left or the right. Did you hear a voice that said, this is the way, walk ye in? The voice of the Lord will keep you in the right way. You can depend on it, showing you the right way. Get acquainted with the voice of the Lord. Jesus said in one place, learn of me. And this is one of the ways that the Lord wants you to learn of Him. Learn the voice of the Lord. In closing, I'm going to give you John 10, 1 through 5. This is familiar to us. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In John 18 and 37, the latter part of that verse says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, if you're following truth, the Lord is going to make you hear his voice. Now, I have been impressed. There's that word, impressed. Well, I'd like to challenge you. I'd like to challenge you to look at how many writers of our songs talks about the voice of the Lord. You'll find a number of our songs. Actually, I would like to give you one that I was inspired with. It was, 370, two verses. Bright anticipation. There's a voice full of sweetness and love. It is speaking so kindly to me. And this is what it's saying. It's in quotations now. I will lead you to bright realms above, where the Spirit is forever free. Forever is free. Have you heard that voice? We started out tonight and we read you the scripture in Revelations that said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and openeth, I'm going to come in and I will commune with you. I will have fellowship with you. I will be a friend, because friends speak to each other. I want to speak to you tonight. Verse 3 says, there's a sweet voice that calls o'er and o'er. It is cheering my spirit today. Since my treasure is on yonder shore, I must gain it and live there for a. Both of those, but I challenge you to take note of all of the writers and the different ways that they expressed the voice of the Lord. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your attention. I desire you to pray for me. I find that the enemy is working hard to disguise the voice of the Lord and to imitate it. And we all need to pray for each other that we will be awake and alert and acquainted with the voice of the Lord. Amen.